This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I'm convinced that these reads are just to make me look foolish, which I'm sure this one will. Rick, you'll greatly appreciate this. Today on ESPN Daily, starter Trevor Lawrence is sidelined by COVID. Clemson's freshman backup quarterback, he gets the start. Hear more on this rising star.
Whoa.
What?
No, what's his name? His name is clearly
I'm reading it the way it says it. Let me start again. Today on ESPN Daily, starter Trevor Lawrence sidelined by COVID. Clemson's freshman backup quarterback, he gets the start. Hear more on this rising star. Then it says the name on ESPN Daily.
Come on, DJ. You got the first part.
DJ.
Ooh-wee.
DJ Ui Angalele.
Yes.
That's
nice,
right.
Nice, Dave.
Ui Angalele.
First time was better, but yeah.
DJ
The first time was better.
Ui Angalele.
Last week you called him ukulele.
I got rice aroni weeks ago, so I'm making baby steps. Anyway, you can listen about him on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. That was about as good as it gets.
Your first one was as good as it gets, yeah.
I'm not going to do better than that. By the way, you're listening to 98.7 ESPN, WEPN, FM, New York. All right, I want to get to the Mets, but Dempsey was so nice with us yesterday and opened up and told us his real first name is Cullum, and I don't want him to think we're punishing him by not getting to his call. So let's get to the call of Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, good morning, Rothy, Canty, Humpty. How you guys doing today?
Hello, Cullum. How are you?
I'm good. Well, you guys know my full government now, so now we're real close. But I wanted to ask a quick question. I know we weren't really talking Giants much the last hour or so, but they benched Golden Tate yesterday over him saying something, giving the ball, and then his wife saying something over Twitter. But they also picked up Dante Pettis today. I just got a quick question. Do you think those two moves correlate? Do you think, I don't know how the COVID situation with a new player, new team, maybe they're waiting for COVID protocol to clear, and then maybe once Dante Pettis is officially on the team, my theory is they're going to dump Golden Tate. But what do you guys think? Do you think those correlate, or is that out of the wind?
I don't think so. I think the Giants just looked at it as an opportunity to pick up a young player and see if a fresh start can jumpstart his career. You know what I mean? Like, Dante Pettis was a high draft pick by the 49ers a couple of years ago. I think his rookie year he had like 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It kind of fell out of favor, so.
So what do you think is going to happen with Golden Tate? I mean, you'd say he doesn't come to practice. There's a little bit of issues. I mean,
I just think that they set Golden Tate down. They told him go home, and that was going to be his punishment for the day. They said whatever else they do, they're going to handle it internally. But I don't think there's a correlation between the two moves. I think the Giants are just looking at this as an opportunity to get a player from a talent standpoint that has a lot of upside.
I'm annoyed with Golden Tate. You can't. Thanks for the call, Cullum. You can't show up your team. You can't show up your quarterback. You can't do it. You can't have your. And again, you don't control your wife. I get that, but it's just it's a bad look all around. And I think they're doing the right thing by punishing him. I do. I think it's the right thing. And I think it's a bad look. And they, you know what annoys me even more? They brought him in, if you remember, under the guise of we're moving on from Odell. He's a bad guy. We don't want him around. We have to move on from him. Golden Tate is the answer. Golden Tate is going to write the ship. Golden Tate is a great locker room guy. Well, you know what? It's another one of the misses that you look at from Dave Gettleman right now.
He wasn't a great locker room guy in Seattle. Golden Tate is a pro. I mean, you know what you're going to get from him. Yards after catch, he's one of the best in the business. So you'd like to have that for a young quarterback to be able to rely on, but you don't want a guy that's going to be disgruntled. I mean, when Golden Tate came to the Giants, he should have understood what this was. This was a team that was rebuilding. This wasn't a team that was going to be a finished product competing for the postseason. That's not what the Giants were. So, you know, if he's upset about it, the only person he should be upset at is himself. But the young quarterbacks, there are always going to be growing pains.
Right, but the question is, Rick, is he upset because they're not winning games? Is he upset because he's not getting the football to show what a dynamic player he thinks he is?
Well, I think, if you read what his wife said – I mean, it's because they're ruining his stats. You know, how much would this? I mean, his name was being mentioned in at the deadline. How much of this was kind of to push that through?
I'm sure if there was a market for him, the Giants would have moved on from him.
No, I know, but I mean, we've seen this play out before. I mean, this is straight out of the playbook of just become a problem and get your way. Maybe they take less because he's a distraction to get rid of him. Maybe that was the mindset.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think anybody wanted that salary.
It wasn't his wife just going rogue. I mean, this is something that they talk about.
You think that's a well-calculated, all right, let's...
I don't know if it was calculated, but this is something he's complaining about. He's complaining about this at home. Like, she's just not watching the game and act like this is something that they've talked about. Like, when you go home, you vent to your wife. Like, if things aren't going well at work, you vent to your wife. And then she decided to go on Instagram and let everyone know.
Well, yeah. As a Giants fan, I don't like it.
And the Giants don't like it.
And they shouldn't.
And I do like how the Giants are handling. I like how Joe Judge is handling things. Send him home. The rest of it will stay in house. I'm not gonna put my players on blast in the media, but I can promise you this: inside the locker room, they're getting an earful. Did the same thing with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley when they got caught out with the mask off.
Yep.
That's how it's supposed to work.
Right. Keep it in house, but let's make sure it's handled in house.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's appropriate. All right, let's switch to the Mets for a couple minutes, and then the CMT, which Rick woke up extra early for this morning, will happen in right around 10:30 today. So, I mean, the hierarchy with the Mets, it's Van Wagner is still sitting here as the general manager, and I guess the question is, at what point, if at all, does Sandy Alderson come in and say, no, we have to make a switch, we have to move on? And I hate to root for guys to lose their jobs, but, I mean, in my mind, guys... Brody has not done a good job since he's been the GM of this team.
No, he hadn't done a good job. I mean, he made a lot of win-now moves, and that hasn't correlated to the team getting in the postseason either the 2 years he's been the GM. And you mortgaged a lot of your farm system in order to put yourself in this position and to make those trades. So it's just – this is one of those things now. It's like, okay, we have to wait and see what kind of organizational structure Sandy Alderson wants to put in place. But you got to think that once he decides on what he's going to do, he's probably going to go in another direction as far as his general manager is concerned. And considering what Buster Olney said earlier this week, that there are a lot of qualified baseball people that are without jobs right now because of, you know, the revenue crunch due to COVID. I mean, there's an opportunity for the Jets to bring in a lot more baseball people, a lot more quality baseball people within their organization in order to improve on what they're trying to do. So I don't envision Vody Van Wagenen being with the Jets very long. I mean, being with the Mets very long.
I mean,
it's the same conversation. We're having the same conversation.
No, come on. We're not the Jets.
Same conversation.
No, we're not the Jets. We're trying to be the Dodgers, who we're trying to be.
I'm just saying. But you know what I mean. They're going to move on from Vody Van Wagenen. They're going to move on from him. They're going to clean that out.
Isn't that the right move?
Yeah, well, I mean, Brody undid. I mean, he piece by piece was undoing what Sandy Alderson built. I mean, you look at this Mets team. You know, a lot of the most impactful guys, those are all Sandy Alderson guys. Conforto, Lugo, Nimmo. I mean, Dom Smith, you name it.
Yeah.
That is, I will say, though, one of my bigger concerns, because I'm not concerned they're going to spend money. They'll be in on Real Muto, Bauer, all the names that you expect. My big concern is the getting rid of the DH and what that does to the Mets.
Because the Mets have so many DHs, right?
Well, because I loved having the flexibility having Dom Smith play first and Alonzo DH.
Maybe you have to be creative, and maybe you have to take your DHs, a J.D. Davis or a Dom Smith or somebody like that, and trade them for starting pitching.
Yeah, but there is, I mean, you don't know if you have to trade. I mean, that would be the question I ask you. As much as you love J.T. Realmuto, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yes.
And offensively, the Mets were, when you look at the numbers, I mean, the Mets were one of the better offensive teams in baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you spend less on the catcher, do you get maybe a McCann, who's good defensively, and then spend more money on defense and pitching staff?
I would spend more money on defense and pitching staff. In a perfect world, it would be James McCann as your catcher, and then go after Springer as your center fielder, and then Trevor Bauer as your other ace with Jacob DeGrom.
Or how about a Zunino, even as my...
A Zunino, where I would... I mean, I think McCann is probably a little bit better offensively than Zunino.
Yeah.
But I would pick up the phone, too. I would call Cleveland and see
about Lindor?
What they want to do with Lindor. I would call Colorado and see what they want to do.
See, this is the advantage you have then.
With Arenado.
If it means taking on a bad salary, or if it means, you know, something that's not ideal for a
well, it doesn't have to be a bad salary. It could be more than Colorado wants to pay.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if it means that you have to kind of take something on that ordinarily you wouldn't want to, you can if you're the Mets now.
But the great part about it is, Dave, it's not going to cost you that much, especially in the current climate that we're in. Like a guy like Nolan Arenado, what would that cost you in the way of players, prospects, draft picks, whatever? It's not going to cost the same. You know what I mean? It's just not.
Because no. You're doing them a favor.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's just a situation where you could add a player, and it's not necessarily the cost that everybody in baseball would expect. I mean, similar to what the Yankees did, what Brian Cashman did with Giancarlo Stanton. Now, sure. I'm saying Arenado is clearly a better player, but I'm just saying it's a similar conversation. It's not going to – the compensation for getting a guy like that is not going to cost you as much.
Could you imagine that? If you added, like, an Arenado, Springer – I mean, just huge pieces to start this coming season. Mets fans are already excited. You wouldn't be able to wait until April. Late.
I would see if I could get Charlie Morton. I mean, the pitching is my biggest concern.
Well, you have no pitching.
You have
DeGrom right now and Peterson.
That's it.
That's all you have. Because you can't count on Syndergaard. You don't have Stroman. These other two clowns are with Walker and Porcello are gone. I mean, your pitching staff is barren now. You have money, and you have a couple of chips that you can use to make a trade. So here's the thing, and I don't know if you feel like this. I feel differently. I believe now. I don't sit here look at the Mets saying they're going to go Porcello and Waka this offseason. I firmly believe that they're going to go and spend money and do the right thing, and I won't be sitting here late March, early April, bemoaning about the pitching staff being so awful.
No, I mean, it's going to start from the ground up, though. I mean, to Canty's initial point, is this thing is going to be built from the bottom up with, you know, analytics, with the scouting department, and then the influx of money. I think this would be the year that you're probably going to see it the most, because this is the ideal opportunity for Steve Cohen to take over this team with the climate of where we're at with the pandemic and everything.
Yeah,
else.
You're going to be able to get some discounts on big-time players.
That's some big-time players that you didn't know. I mean, Colton Wong's available. I mean, there's a lot of good players available. And there might be a lot of opportunities, too, to take. I mean, I think Arenado was a possibility with all the money they're paying him.
Think about what your infield would be, though, if you were able to have Arenado at third base and then Pete Alonso at first, Jeff McNeil at second.
Oof. Yeah, but where am I going to play Cano now, though?
See, that would be the other thing you try to maybe, if you want to pay down Cano's salary and try to move him somewhere.
I'd love to do that.
If you include him with somebody. Because if there's no DH,
Jeff McNeil has got to be a second baseman, man.
But how?
I don't know how, Dave, but here's the thing. The great part about having the richest owner in the sport is that you can eat a substantial portion of that
buy
money
him out.
In order to get rid of Cano.
Buy him out or eat so much of the salary that he doesn't look so awful for another team to take.
Exactly. Because I think he showed that he still has some value as a hitter.
Hey, hit last year, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you can pawn him off on another team and you're going to have to eat a significant chunk of the salary, but at least that paves the way for a young player to have, you know, more opportunities at a position that he feels more comfortable. Jeff McNeil is not a good defensive player, period, but I'm just saying in terms of being able to get him the at-bats, being able to have him in the lineup at the same spot every single day instead of having him playing musical chairs with your infield, I feel like that's in the best interest of the player, and that's best interest for your organization long term.
I think the two biggest needs for me are pitching and finding a way to shore up your defense to take advantage of having good pitching.
Yeah,
your offense was fine.
Is a real problem.
Yeah, especially up the middle. It's good. I mean, I would like you to address catching position, obviously, because you don't have a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Shortstop, I wouldn't mind being addressed because I don't think.
Who do you see? You see Jimenez as the everyday shortstop down the road, right?
Yeah, down the road. And that's a good option now, too. I mean, I'd be fine with that, but I would much rather Francisco Lindor if that's a possibility. And then you need a center fielder. You absolutely 100% need a center fielder.
I was reading something yesterday that said that Lindor starting the season in Cleveland is unlikely to happen.
No, they're not going to. They can't afford him.
Right. So point being, like if he's available and you're in the situation you're in, make a splash.
He's going to make a splash.
Well, I think that's on the table, Dave. I think that's on the table, but a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, what the Indians want in return for compensation. Because you got to think the motivation for them to move him before the season starts is because they'll get more for him than they would at the trade deadline.
Yeah, they're going to want young, controllable players. The issue
exactly.
is what do you have?
Yeah, so I mean, you know,
well, what do they need?
That's the question.
It's what do they need?
But what do you even have?
Well, how do they feel about Dom Smith? I mean, offensively, Dom Smith was great last year.
Terrific.
And I guess he's highly regarded. So, I mean, he's a guy who can play first base for you every day, left-handed bat. You're not paying him anything.
Nope.
That's attractive.
Be great. If you could be Dom Smith and another
But
player.
Even if you don't, but Dave, even if you don't get Francisco Lindor, I mean, I don't mind him as a shortstop. There are a ton of options.
How do you feel about Springer as your center fielder?
You feel great about it.
I feel great about that. I feel great.
Well, so look at the guys. So it's Lindor and Arenado, but those are trades, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about mm-hmm. Real Muto. You're talking about Bauer. You're talking about Springer. Walk me through, Rick. We'll start with you. How you rank the order of importance of bringing those kind of guys in?
I would put Bauer number one on the list because you're so desperate for pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you imagine pairing up DeGrom and Bauer one two?
And you know what the nice thing
and
about
Bauer actually wants to make more starts. Have you seen this?
Yeah, he wants to start more often.
He wants to go every fourth day instead of every fifth day.
Would be great. 3 days rest?
Would be great.
He's an interesting guy, too.
Yeah, he's really interesting. I would go Bauer first, and then I would go
Spring.
I would go center field second.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can find someone. I think you can find – in the fact that – what I don't like, too, is the fact that, I mean, Real Muto's already come out and said he prefers not to play in New York.
Yeah, that bothers me a little bit, too. He wants to stay in Philly.
Yeah, I don't love that.
So it's just kind of one of those things, like, let him stay where he wants to stay.
Yeah,
you don't want to have hostages. That.
If I can get James McCann on a couple-year deal for, I mean, $10 million a year as opposed to what Real Muto's going to get.
McCann's a solid player, though.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
As long as I make the other moves. If I bring in McCann or Zunino, but I have Bauer and Springer, fine.
I completely agree with you, Dave. I see it the same way Rick sees it. Bauer, that way you have a 1-2 punch at the top of your rotation, and then you're better defensively because you have George Springer in center field.
And offensively, too. He's a great player.
No, he is, but I'm just saying, I mean, like Rick said, you want to be able to have your defense improved to take advantage of having good starting pitching.
And I can't watch Nimmo. I
also like
the,
listen, as much as we didn't like how Stroman handled this year, I like the fact that Steve Cohen was you know, gave the okay to give out that qualifying offer. I mean, if Marcus Stroman is your third or fourth pitcher, then all of a sudden you don't mind that as much as him being at the top of your rotation.
You think there's any chance that he returns with that 1 year, $19 million?
It depends on what his agent's telling him.
Well, I mean,
what the money on a long-term deal is.
I don't know that there's going to be a lot of money for long-term deals out there for other guys.
Right. So is it worth staying in New York, where you know he likes and he's from, pitching for the Mets for a year, should be an improved franchise, and then having a good season and seeing what's out there next year?
I think the other thing, though, too, Dave, is, and you saw some of this on Twitter after the season with, you know, him kind of like, you know, can you imagine me on the Yankees? Like, outside of Gerrit Cole, there's no one on that Yankee staff as good as me. Like, he wanted to be a Yankee. I mean, Kay said it 100 times. Like, he was pissed when he got traded to the Mets.
Right.
Like, he thought he was going to the Yankees. Like, and the fact that he opted out when he opted out, like, how uncomfortable is he going back into that clubhouse?
Maybe so.
He might be uncomfortable, but maybe his position about the Mets was because of how the Wilpons did business. And now that you have a new owner in Steve Cohen, and if he's as aggressive as we're all anticipating he will be, then maybe that changes how Stroman see things. Maybe it's a different feel. Because all I'm saying is this, if you go out there and get Trevor Bauer, and then you're talking about having Jacob DeGrom, Trevor Bauer, and then Marcus Stroman,
That's not bad. If you gave me the option between Stroman or Charlie Morton on a one-year deal, give me Charlie Morton.
Well, you can have both. What's wrong with having both?
Well, I mean, now you're getting crazy.
We can get crazy.
You say you're getting crazy. Listen,
if Uncle Stevie wants to get that crazy, I'm not going to hold him back.
He wants to get
crazy. Yeah, well, Charlie Morton's your deal, right? That's going to be a one-year proposition for whoever
well,
it is.
Well, he's like 38 years old.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, I mean, if you have the chance to add him and he wants to stay close to home, Tampa's home, so if he can stay on the East Coast, then that makes all the sense in the world.
The nice thing is I actually have faith for the first time in forever.
Well, how could you not?
But this is like uncharted territory. You're going into the offseason. There's all these options, and you're sitting here thinking, you know what? I believe the Mets are going to probably wind up doing the right thing. When was the last time you felt like that?
Well, you know what's amazing is that we're sitting here going through all these names and how excited we are, and then there is still – like, Canty's not going to say anything, but there is still some trepidation that they signed DJ LeMahieu. Canty's like a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I'm nervous about it.
See, I told you. I knew
nervous.
He's going to get big money.
He's going to be a big money. It's going to be around that 20, 21, 22.
Yeah.
Not quite 25 like some people were speculating, but it's going to be in the
20. 4 for 88. That's what it's going to be.
Can the Blue Jays go out there and give him that? I mean, sure. Would the Mets give him that? It's possible.
I just think that if the Yankees
keep it close with DJ LeMahieu, then I think that he would want to stay with the Yankees. But that's the question is, does Brian Cashman see the value in that? Does Brian Cashman feel like it's worth it to him to go out and spend, you know, $21 million on a three-year deal, 21 per year for DJ LeMahieu? Most Yankees fans will say yes, but I don't know that Brian Cashman will.
Well, it depends on what they end up doing. Like, do they – I would have to know how they feel about having Gleyber Torres play short. Would they like to move Gleyber to second?
I feel better with him at second.
Okay,
I feel better with him at second.
Would they consider trading Luke Voit? What could you get for Luke Voit? Because if that's the case, I mean, DJ LeMahieu can play first base. He's fine playing first base. Like, they got a lot of decisions to make. They do.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that you got Stanton making as much money as Stanton making as a full-time DH is a problem.
Well, what do you do with Gary Sanchez this offseason?
Yeah, but are you going to really – I mean, are you going to walk away from Gary Sanchez now? You're going to get nothing for Gary Sanchez.
Nothing. Probably not. They got to try to see if they can get him back in 21.
And you're not paying him a ton of money.
No. What will he wind up making, like $8 million?
Yeah, he's going into year two of arbitration. He made five this year.
So nine,
I don't know if he'll make all the way.
Like
I don't know if he'll push all the way.
You got it. You got it. You owe it to
so
yourself
bad.
To give him another opportunity. You stuck with him this long, like you got to give him one more opportunity. And if he doesn't get it turned around, then you move off of him. But I don't think you do that this offseason.
You have Frazier play left. You'll have Hicks in center. You'll have Judge in right.
Mm-hmm. Stanton's your DH.
And you got Urshela playing third. Stanton's your full time mm-hmm. DH.
What do you do at
and
short?
And then you have to make a decision what you want to do, because there's a lot of good options at short. I mean, you want to bring Didi back?
I bet
get a left handed.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
You could do that. I mean, you also
you
have
see the Yankees making a call to Cleveland about Lindor.
Well, see, I don't know. If you're going to bring Lindor, you're going to have to give him a ton of money. You can't have Cole making his money and Stanton making his money, and then you're going to sign Lindor. That's not going to happen.
The only way they make that decision is if they know that they're not going to re-sign Aaron Judge. If they know they're not going to pay Aaron Judge.
You can't know that, though.
Well, listen,
you?
Dave, you got, I mean,
well,
Semien's
available. You can make that decision that he's hurt too often to commit to him with that kind of money.
I know.
That's the only way you would make that decision. I don't think they would, Dave. I'm just saying that if they did do something like that, that's, in effect, what they would be saying.
Right, is waving the white flag on him to bring in. I could never do that. He's just too talented.
You got Marcus Semien, who could be, I mean, Marcus Semien's a good option at short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is.
Andrelton Simmons. He's a good option.
He's
short.
A great defender.
That's a hell of a name.
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's not a ukulele like the Clemson quarterback, though.
But again, it's what they want to do with it. What they're going to decide to do with Gleyber Torres. I think the fact that he was playing shortstop full time affected his offense a little bit this year.
I agree with you. And also, I don't think he's a great defensive shortstop. I think he's a subpar defensive shortstop.
There's better options.
I would agree
defensively.
With that. I would agree with that.
And that was a concern of mine going into the season. This is not even revisionist history where I look back on now and say.
But you felt the same way. I mean, he's better defensively than Gary Sanchez is catching, but it was the same kind of you're taking the offense over great defense.
Yes.
Well, you were saying this with Gleyber the whole time, Rico. He's just so talented that sometimes, you know, you wonder about his focus, you know, just kind of some lapses in that area. It's not that he doesn't have talent to be a good defensive middle infielder. It's just a matter of him being locked in, being dialed in, and making him switch from second to short affected him more offensively than we thought it would.
That's a lot on your plate. Playing shortstop and being asked to do what he does offensively, that's a lot. It is.
It does seem like focus can be an issue for him at times. All right, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, UFC Fight Night, presented by the U.S. Army on ESPN+. The main event features a light heavyweight battle between Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira. That's Saturday night at 7, exclusively on ESPN+. Visit ESPNplus.com to subscribe. First, I want to tell you about the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20 contest. It continues today at 3 o'clock. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life just a little more enjoyable. And it's easy, too. Like the audio, they play a clip of audio. It's somebody that's been on the show in the past. It's very easy. You call. You get it right who it is, and you win. Now, today the guys are giving away the Bartesian. It's a home cocktail maker that automatically draws from your chosen spirits and dispenses a premium cocktail the touch of a button in seconds. So you can, I mean, you don't leave the house now anyway. You can drink your face off. It's a great thing. It's a great
No, that's great.
Prize.
Yeah, fantastic.
Right?
They actually with the machine, send Bart Scott with a beret on over to the house. He delivers.
Yes. And like that James Harrison commercial, he will not tackle you in your yard. It's the 20 and 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard and Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand, and of course, 98.7 ESPN.
I just got the mental picture of Bart Scott in a beret. Hilarious.
Could you imagine that? It'd be hilarious.
You get paid yet, by the way?
Still hadn't gotten paid.
Mm-hmm.
Still hadn't gotten paid.
Tell them to bring me my money.
I don't understand what's going on.
Has this been discussed?
No, hadn't even been discussed. And I go on the show every single Friday. We'll see if he brings it up tomorrow.
I think what you need to do, and Rick, you can agree or disagree. I think you, when you go on the show, you need to bring it up and say, I can't continue appearing on the show until I get my money.
You let yourself get distracted.
Oh, I see. Listen, look at you trying to lay down an ultimatum, Dave.
Well, he owes you money.
He does.
And he's owed you money for months.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Exactly. And it's not like it's a bad thing. It's just going to the Chris Canty Foundation. He can use it as a write-off anyway.
It's a write-off. The kids.
Exactly.
Chris loved the kids.
Love the kids.
I know. Listen.
Especially when
they
ain't mine.
Not every sequel is a great idea. I would like to see another Rounders.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I love that movie.
Well, it was a great movie. But if they ruin it, then you have a bad taste in your mouth.
No, but I like Matry. It's been long enough. Like, just try it once for me.
I don't know. I mean, are you gonna?
I feel like you
David?
Should leave well enough alone, man. That's a classic film.
It's a
maybe
great
I'll just watch it
movie.
Again. Maybe I'll just watch it again then.
That's one of those movies that every time it's on and you flip onto it, you're like, well, now I got to watch the end of it.
That was like, I was flipping through the channels yesterday because there was nothing on. The Italian Job came up, and I had to watch it.
That's the one with
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg's in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got an awesome cast in it.
Is that the one where they kill Donald Sutherland early on?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's got a good cast,
all right,
too.
Let's get into
CMT. Charlize Theron in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. All right, CMT.
Simmer down.
Right.
Here we go. This is just selfishly quick. Let's get through this quick. I got two questions. Just this is for me because we don't do CMT on Fridays. I was just asked this question about Sunday. I have three options. Pizza, pancakes, Jersey Mike's. Pizza,
yes.
Pancakes, Jersey Mike's. Which one of those are we?
I mean, you can't go wrong. I refuse to touch any.
You got to marry one of them. Because I got to make a decision. I can't have all three.
This is going to be grazed on throughout the day.
Yeah, this is a full experience.
Right?
This is easy for me. Pizza. You marry the pizza because I feel like you can do the most with the pizza. Pizza is a very versatile vehicle. I mean, you can have breakfast pizza. You can have regular pizza. You can have dessert pizza. A lot of different ways you go. Marry the pizza. I think you cuddle the pancakes and you trash the Jersey Mike's.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
See, I'm not going to agree. Now, I want it understood and on the record that all these are things that I do not feel comfortable trashing. But for the exercise at hand, I will.
These are all things that we potentially have eaten out of the garbage before.
Yes. I'm going to trash the pancake. Love it if you said breakfast.
Garbage.
But do I want pancakes all day long?
Well,
I don't
brunch.
Think I do. I don't want breakfast. I don't want lunch. I don't want dinner. I don't want just nonstop pancakes.
Jersey Mike's for breakfast?
No. That's a great point.
Breakfast for dinner. That's a thing. But nobody does Jersey Mike's for breakfast.
I'm going to cuddle Jersey Mike's.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. And I will agree, and I will. I'll marry the pizza.
If it was socially acceptable, I would.
All right.
Marry
now,
them.
Now make this quick. I don't need analysis. Now the pizza I was also good. So I have taco pizza. I can have. Buffalo chicken pizza, or I can go with the sausage pizza.
All right. I'm marrying
Rico.
Sausage.
You know where I'm at with this. You know
I'm
where I'm
sausage,
at with this.
If it was
I'm socially cuddling
acceptable,
buffalo,
I would marry.
And
them.
I'm trashing taco.
I'm trashing taco. I'm marrying buffalo chicken pizza, especially Umberto's buffalo chicken pizza.
That's what we're talking about.
Marrying it. No question about it. And I will. I'll cuddle up to the sausage pizza.
Bombs and
nice crumbled sausage.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you made that easy. Here we go. Week 9 edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash. I want to ask you guys.
I don't want to pop on the radio Monday and for us to say what you have and you say pancakes. Because then all of our input you're not taking into account.
No, I cuddled the pancakes. You trashed the pancakes.
Yeah, you trashed the pancakes.
I cuddled the pancakes.
But Chris, we both married the pizza.
If
you're taking this for anything that it's worth, you have to now get pizza on Sunday.
Well, I'm just assuming that he's probably going to try to do both. He's going to, you know, start with the pancakes and then he'll graduate to the pizza.
Yeah, or
he's not
going to
just do one. He's not going to just do one.
I was told one.
Don't trust
that. My answer.
Yeah, Dave, but you got to know Rick. But you got to know Rico. He's not going to do that.
But he just said that's what he's doing.
Okay, but time out. Canty's right. Canty knows me well.
Exactly.
Is that I would like to
do
both. But to keep my integrity with Cuddle, Marry, Trash, this is what I'm going to do. Rather than trick you and have the pancakes and the pizza, I'm going to not trash any of the pizzas. I'll do all three pizzas. So I'll do the taco pizza, the buffalo chicken pizza, and I'll do the sausage.
That's fine. I would marry them.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. Okay.
That's how I'm going to roll it. And the reason I love the taco pizza is because I don't eat Doritos often, except for when I eat the taco pizza. And you get the nacho cheese Doritos and you crumble them up on the pizza. Oh, my God.
I've never had that, but that sounds outstanding.
It'll change your life, dude. It'll change your life.
It sounds outstanding.
You take the sour cream, you mix it with the taco seasoning, and you put that on top of the beef and the cheese, and then you take the Doritos and crumble them up with some shredded lettuce. All right, best team in the NFL. Halfway point. Best team in the NFL. The Chiefs, the Bucs, or the Steelers?
This is easy. I'm going to marry Kansas City.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I think I need to explain all that much. They're clearly the best team in football.
You love them. Yeah, that's fine.
I think the quarterback is the best. So it's Pittsburgh and who's Seattle is the last?
No, Tampa.
Tampa.
Seattle's defense stinks.
I'm gonna cuddle Pittsburgh. We've discussed it many times on the show. The AFC is loaded at the top, and I will go Kansas City, marry Pittsburgh, cuddle Tampa. I like Tampa. I don't know. I want to see them as a full unit. I want to see Antonio Brown. I want to see Godwin. I want to see a healthier Evans. So I like Tampa. I think they may be the most complete team in the NFC, but as far as NFL, they're third in this ranking for me.
Okay, I'm going to agree with Dave. I'm going to marry the Chiefs. Where we disagree is the Bucs and the Steelers. I am going to trash the Steelers, and maybe this is a little bit of my Ravens bias.
Bias, yep.
There's just something about that Pittsburgh team that I don't necessarily trust, and maybe it's just the quarterback. Maybe I don't trust Big Ben. I saw him at the end of that Tennessee Titans game, and literally he threw the Titans back in the game by throwing those interceptions. So I am I'm going to trash them, and I am going to cuddle up
Bombs
next to the Bucs.
Hellacious seeds.
All right, here we go. Next one. Midseason MVP. Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, or Mr. Unlimited.
Now, let me ask a question.
Yeah.
So it's Mahomes, Rodgers, or Wilson?
Yeah.
Mr. Unlimited.
Do you have numbers for those guys? Do you have, like, touchdowns thrown from
you
any of
them? You need numbers, Dave?
I mean,
all of a sudden, now you're a numbers guy.
You want numbers?
I would like to base some of my decision making on
okay.
the eye test.
Russell Wilson is first with touchdown passes with 26. Mahomes has 21. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers has 20, which is third.
Okay.
So they're 1, 2, 3.
Do we have interception numbers we can throw my way? No, it's not nerdy.
Yeah, we got Pat Mahomes has one interception.
Wow.
Russell Wilson has 6 interceptions. And Aaron Rodgers has 2 interceptions. He's 20-2.
Wow, these are some numbers, huh? And it just goes to show you how amazing it is that the Giants and Jets have this quarterback play. All right, Chris, you're up.
Yeah, I'm going to marry him right in a row, okay? Russell Wilson is number one. I'm going to marry him. I'm going to cuddle Pat Mahomes, and I'm going to trash Aaron Rodgers.
Mr. Unlimited.
Big bam, boom.
God, trashing Aaron Rodgers here. I mean, this is more difficult.
Russell Wilson's probably the best white quarterback in the NFL, no?
Stop it. You got to stop saying that. You got to stop saying that.
Mr. Unlimited.
He is super corny, though, man. Goodness.
It's
so corny.
It's unbelievable.
This is very difficult. I'm going to... I don't like this question. I'm going to trash Aaron Rodgers. I know. I don't like this question. This is very uncomfortable because I'm going to be given answers. Any of these guys can win MVP.
That means it's a great question.
It's a great question. The first one was not. The first one was clearly Kansas City. This is great. I'm going to trash Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to cuddle Russell Wilson.
Bombs and hellacious.
Hey, New York City, I'm here.
And I'm going to marry Patrick Mahomes.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
You have a thing for Kansas City. I mean, clearly you love Kansas City.
Yes. I mean, is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing. I just think as far as, I mean, what Russell Wilson's asked to do on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, I think Seattle needs more from Russell Wilson than Kansas City needs from Pat Mahomes.
Let's get it.
It could be true.
Yeah, but Dave's in love. He's in full-blown love. All right, here we go.
I can't help it. Love. I mean, you're, if you're going to come down on me for loving Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, then have at it.
I would never go down on you. Here we go. Biggest disappointment through the first half of the season.
I'm going to just move right on with that.
I'm going to marry the Cowboys.
I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you Dallas. I'm going to give you the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm going to give you the Houston Texans. Biggest disappointment.
Go ahead, Dave.
Dallas. Dallas was a team. I remember Chris said this to me. I think the week that the season was starting. If they don't make the NFC Championship game, this has been a failed season. NFC Championship game. Could finish last in the division. They stink.
Disappointed!
And I understand that losing Dak Prescott is a loss, but let's not forget, they were a bad football team before he went out for the year. So I will marry Dallas.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Houston.
Bombs.
Not only.
Hellacious season.
And this is amazing. Not only are they 1-6 and horrible, they don't even have their first round pick or second round pick.
Ugh.
Those go to Miami. So watching them lose is just that much more painful if you're a Houston fan and the expectations were through the roof. I don't even want to trash Minnesota because I'm going to say this right now. I actually think Minnesota has a chance to make a run and get into the postseason. I don't think they're done. I think they're a good football team. I think they're healthier now, and I wouldn't be surprised if they, at a minimum, approach that 500 mark. So I will trash Minnesota on this list.
Okay, so we slightly disagree, but I'll start with the common ground. We could use a little more of that in our society these days. I am going to marry the Cowboys as the biggest disappointment. I am actually going to cuddle the Vikes as the biggest disappointment. And my reason for that is this. Minnesota had championship aspirations. Like, this is a team that everybody thought, you know, could be a dark horse Super Bowl team out of the NFC. Nobody was saying that about the Texans with Bill O'Brien. Even though we thought they'd be a playoff team, nobody thought the Texans could make it to the Super Bowl. People actually came out and said Minnesota could make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, the Vikings and Rick Spielman actually gave him money. They gave him a contract extension this offseason. So I'm going to cuddle them as the biggest disappointment. And I'm going to trash the Texans, even though they are a big disappointment. I don't think it's as big as the other two.
All right, here we go. Last one before we go to break. Game you're most looking forward to watch in Week 9.
Mm-hmm.
Saints at the Bucs. Baltimore at Indy. Baltimore looking to bounce back. And here's where I get a little bit twisted. This could be – there's two games.
Buffalo-Seattle.
Okay, but there's also – strictly because I'm excited to watch. Miami-Arizona kind of intrigues me a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Miami-Arizona is more intriguing to me than Baltimore-Indy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Let's get rid of Baltimore-Indy. I'll give you – so you got the Saints at the Bucs, Seattle at Buffalo, and then I'm going to give you Miami at Arizona.
You know what? I'm going to marry Saints at Bucs because I think that's for the division. Like, the winner of this game is going to take control of the division. And I think these two teams are going to be right there in the end. I wanted to bury the Saints early on in the season just because I think Drew Brees is done, and I still do. But I'm still looking forward to watching it all play out. So I'm gonna marry that one. I'm with you on this one, Rico. I'm going to cuddle that Dolphins-Cardinals matchup, man, because these are two upstart programs and, you know, two young quarterbacks that have gotten a lot of press this year in the first half. So I just want to see what that game is. I'm starting to believe in Miami. I really am. Like, I honestly think Miami has a chance to compete for the AFC East title this year. So I'm interested in seeing that game. And then, I'm going to trash. What was the last one we had?
Seattle-Buffalo.
Yeah, I'll trash that. I'll trash that.
I'm going to agree on the marriage proposal. New Orleans-Tampa is the game of the week. I'll marry that one. I'm going to cuddle Seattle-Buffalo.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Not sure what to make of Buffalo at this point. I mean, they've won two in a row. They haven't looked good in either game. They could have lost to the Jets. They probably should have lost to New England. So after that red-hot start, I'm a little confused by this team. I'm interested in Miami-Arizona. I will watch Miami-Arizona. But of that trio, it will be my trash of the three.
Disrespectful, but there you go, boys. That is a Thursday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
Nicely done.
Terrific. A wonderful job. Do you want a rapid one, or can I not do it, Santi? Can I give them one from the listeners?
Yeah, rapid. Let's go rapid. Don't
Most likely to make the playoffs. Bears, Browns, Raiders.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to trash the Raiders. I'm trashing the Raiders. I am going to, let's see here.
Very quick.
I don't know. This is a tough one.
You said
one
Raiders,
here.
Bears, and who else?
Browns.
And Browns. The Browns. Browns. Yeah. I'm going to marry the Browns and cuddle the Bears. And that's strictly based on schedule. I think the Browns' remaining schedule is a lot easier than the Bears' remaining schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to marry the Browns. I'll cuddle the Raiders. And I agree with you.
I can't stand the Bears. All right, want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, hey, play 98.7 ESPN. And 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. It was going to be a great game. Now it looks like just a game, but Packers-Niners tonight, 8:15 kickoff for that one. Do you want to get involved, Rick? You had made mention earlier that maybe you'd dabble in the game this week.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you're going to have to know.
Do it.
We need
Do
an
it.
Answer.
No,
come on.
Kathy wants me to dabble. He's begging me to dabble. I don't know if I want to dabble.
I was going to go head-to-head against you.
Oh, dabble, dabble.
I was going to do it.
We got a break. Come on.
No, I'm not dabbling.
You dabbling?
No, I'm not messing with it. But if he would have went with the Packers, I was going to go with the Niners.
Oh. Goodbye.
You know you'd win if he took the Niners and you took the Packers.
That's a good point.
We got to go. What a shame. Could have been so exciting. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, blanket champion. It's DPHO, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.